You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to The Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. This is part two of the season one recap of the HBO show Insecure. On the mic are KC, Merc 80, and myself. Hope you enjoyed the first part of the discussion. If you haven't listened to it, I suggest you guys do and come back to this. We do spoil the season, so if you have not watched the season, I recommend you guys do so and then come back and check us out. In this part of the discussion, we talk about our expectations for season two, the growth we'd like to see for the characters, women making decisions based strictly on sexual desires, Lawrence being turned into the villain, and exploring the emotional side of men, along with some other things. Great show, man. Once again, shout out to Issa Rae for putting this together. We cannot wait for season two. Especially the way everybody reacted to the end of season one. You know everybody coming back to this. So make sure you guys check it out and support. We'd like to hear your thoughts on Insecure and what you guys thought of the show and your thoughts on our recap. You can reach out to us via email, kc@blackisonline.com. Voicemail 323-455-4219. You can find us on the website, blackisonline.com. Thanks for listening.
Dude, when he took her ring shopping, that was the number one time that she should have came clean. That was it. Because everything was going to go downhill from there.
Yeah.
And because and as soon as it got revealed, it was like, that's a wrap. I mean, look, I gotta roll soon. So I wanted to take it to this thing. Mm-hmm. What do you want to see, would you like to see happen in the season going forward?
I expect him and, well, I expect Lawrence and Tasha to still, I expect Tasha to come back in season two. Something, because I could see him maybe boning regularly, maybe not committing to a relationship, but like, you know, I could see her being like that piece.
Right.
I could see all the characters coming back. I could see maybe Issa feeling like, fuck. You know, I didn't, you know, Lawrence clearly, he pissed off. It may not happen again. I fucked up. Let me try with Daniel again. I want to see Lawrence and East, I guess, try to patch it or at least figure out, can they patch it? That's what I expect from season two is like, because, you know, Lawrence still, I don't think he's still 100% out of it. I think he really loves Issa. It's just that it's the now I can't trust you. And can I build the trust back enough to where we can actually have a relationship and move forward? Because that's hard.
Right.
You can't, you know, people just don't, you don't build trust back that quick. And some people are just, will be like, you know what? I tried, just like Molly. I gave it a chance and I can't get over it.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening.
I expect the show to come back. Well, if it were my desire, I would love for it to come back right where it left off.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, the assumption is because she comes home and all of his stuff is gone.
Except the Best Buy shirt.
Yeah, except for the Best Buy shirt. Yeah. That,
which was clearly purpose.
Right. Yeah, you can have that it's going to come back with, you know, her doing her thing and him doing his thing. And what I do expect the second season to be is this showcase of them trying out their new singleness, mm-hmm. but still kind of trying to figure out how they feel about each other. And the thing is, what we do see with him is a true unwillingness to forgive. We see a side of Lawrence that we don't even know exists mm-hmm. when he realizes that he's been betrayed.
Oh, yeah.
He feels so stupid. Mm-hmm. He feels so stupid. And that part of his ego will not allow him to forgive her in that circumstance, at least not in that moment. But the fact that they had a the fact that he had a moment of vulnerability in the strip club, because if y'all didn't know, head costs $200, right. Sex costs $400 if you try to get down in whatever strip club that in was Los in Los Angeles. Angeles.
Right.
$600 to get you in, two good nuts. Anyway. Ah. In that moment where he's vulnerable and calls her and tells her, you know, I do miss you, and they, you know, and maybe we should talk. And I don't know what made her, but the thing is, I could totally identify what made her think to herself, let me hightail my happy ass back to LA and try to catch him at the house and let's just squash this shit right now. I fully expect him to try to have that conversation with her when he comes back. That's what I would want. That's what I would want. I would want the show to start with him showing up to the apartment like, yeah, I moved my shit out, but let's talk. And her being like, and seeing what happens in that conversation. Because from what we understand, Issa doesn't know he slept with somebody else. She doesn't know Tasha exists.
Right.
You know what I mean? She just knows that he's hurt as fuck. And she's lost him. She's lost him enough to the point where he's moved his shit out, even his pillow, which was pretty petty. And so I would love to see that very uncomfortable conversation that happens between two people when they are breaking up.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it like this. If Issa and Lawrence are going to get back together or talk about that, I don't think it should happen next season. It's got to happen in the third season.
Yeah, no,
can't happen next season.
Here's I would think too. I would want the second season to right. be about repair and something. Right.
But or they can't some talk kind of growth. At all. They wouldn't talk to each other about what just
happened. Now here's the thing. I'm making sure one way or another that Issa Rae hears me. So Issa Rae, yeah. one way or another, you're going to hear me out. If you and your writing team don't know where to go, I'm going to let you know right now at least a couple cards you can play.
We're going to share hopefully. This
letter. Right. So my thing is this. I've heard a lot of different theories and certain things, and with those theories, I feel like there were a lot of people who were like, oh, Lawrence is just going for a rebound and he's going to go back to her because he has to. There was this idea really constantly circulating that there's no way that Lawrence can have the confidence or strength to just like to just move on. And so my thing is if he does the whole Best Buy shirt thing and does the hard cut, you know what I'm saying? The hard cut is when a dude is all like, they do the ripping the Band-Aid off of how they feel emotionally with somebody and you just shut it all the way down and you don't look back. Mm-hmm. Now, if he leaves the Best Buy shirt, what's he going to look like going back and be like, yeah, never mind. Mm-hmm. Like, huh? You left the Best Buy shirt for a reason as a point. That you took all your stuff out. The way I saw it was he goes to the strip club. He sees now intimacy is about to be different. Mm-hmm. Now these are different. The other women that I'm not used to dealing with. So he calls her up. I think maybe we should talk. And Issa herself said when he goes back to the apartment in the neighborhood, it just feels like a regression. Mm-hmm. And that he sees all this stuff. It's just going back to the same thing when he's already started popping now. Now he's at his job. He's handling things. Things are going good. And then he leaves the shirt as a reminder of like, look, this is who I was. If you can't have me in my worst, you can't have me in my best or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to make a hard cut like that and then turn around and be like, never mind. Huh?
But not yeah. a never mind. But like, you got 5 years in with somebody. 5 years in
mm-hmm.
deserves a closing conversation.
But what
it doesn't have to
episode?
Be.
Because to me, it's 8 episodes. I could see maybe episode
the last episode seven, of the season? 8.
Because 7 seems to be, HBO was like, you need to have, like, episode, the second to last episode of every, seems every episode for HBO is a big thing for them. They okay. want you to have yeah. something hidden in that second to last episode. I could see toward the end, mm-hmm. them finally like, okay, let's talk. Mm-hmm. I could see like the first 5-6 episodes, she tries to call him, he don't respond.
And he's not available.
And you see how both of them, like you said, are trying to handle being single.
And you guys are men, so I'm going to defer to you. And to both of your points, Lawrence did just get some new pussy.
Right.
New pussy will change your mind.
It can.
So,
it's just it's a might, way to get over
yeah,
that but, stage.
So he might not be so eager to have the conversation in the way he presents it
right.
in the initial phone call.
Yeah,
so
he got options.
He
now he has options.
He definitely and, does now.
And my thing is this. It's kind of like you said. They could pick up where they left off, but by the time they start the new season, it's going to be like, you know, a year and a half is going to have passed at least. Mm-hmm. So
for us, you mean?
For us, but yeah, definitely for us. But so it's like, okay, they're going to have to still keep making references to 2016 or something. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's something that has to be open enough for them to constantly deal with. If they have any kind of new technology in their phone or new whatever, then we have to know that time has passed since they broke up. So if it's been 8-9 months, you know, are you over it now or not? And then maybe they're going to have another discussion, but at some point somebody has to grow.
Right.
Now, here's the other thing. You already know how Black LA is. Black LA is small. There's more than enough situations that they could both find themselves in where they're dating another friend mm-hmm. or she meets Tasha and then it's like, oh, well, when did you guys meet? Oh, we met around September last year. Oh, that's when we broke up. Like, there's plenty yeah. of conflicting things that can happen. Mm-hmm. But the show, in trying to be realistic, it is very realistic that Issa and or Lawrence can move on. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, we have to see her dating. But then there's points where within that year, yeah, you know, Lawrence has experienced X, Y, and Z. He's happy and he's not going back. Mm-hmm. And so then Issa has to kind of go within herself and figure out, okay, what am I going to do? And then maybe that's what prompts her to change. But the thing is that it's if they just get back together, now it's boring. Mm-mm. And now it's yeah. you know,
they can't just get just, back together.
Right. So no. something is going to have to happen that makes sense. On top of that, you know, the show can't keep going with Issa still being the way that she is. Like, she already has a thing where she kind of speaks her mind in the somewhat quote unquote inappropriate times, or when she does, the other person is insecure about how they receive it.
Right.
But if she doesn't grow, if people don't grow within the show, then all you're doing is just seeing people being miserable all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think that there's an alternate reality that people are so afraid to see because that's the reality that they're afraid of. Like, they're broken up. They've got to get back together. No. Lots of people break up and move on and mm-hmm. find more successful relationships yeah. or whatever. Mm-hmm. So people seem to also, again, be projecting the reality that they want to see happen on the show, even me. But my whole thing is like I was saying, just, you know, because I totally hear your point. But my thing is as a guy, and I think most guys know, if you ever had a girl that you felt kind of played you, you have to have a real conversation with yourself, like, is this going to work or not?
Right, because it's a breach of trust.
Right.
Like, I absolutely wasn't insinuating that they would get back together.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Or something, but
not even get back together. Yeah. I feel like they would have they would just have a conversation.
Sure, eventually they'd have a conversation.
That would result yeah. in the relationship ending.
Right.
And then us seeing them trying to navigate through being single again this next season,
yeah.
whether or not they get back together.
Yeah, you can see that going on.
If they resume the show, like, okay, now it's 2017, then I think that they'll end up having a hindsight conversation to realize maybe where they grew, mm-hmm. if that's the direction it goes in.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for me, there are certain points where, yeah, you have conversation in hindsight, but you know, I think he wanted to talk, and then at the end of it, he changed his mind and said, forget it. And what I was saying is that for dudes, when we make that hard cut, you know, that turn and don't look back, we're not talking about nothing.
Yeah.
Because we know that we could probably be drawn back into it because we do want it to work out.
Because
and we do like that person. Right. Mm-hmm. But then there's also a point where you got to ask yourself, is this negotiable or not? So whatever his thought process is about it, I don't know. I think it's very possible that Issa could end up. It'd be really interesting if she ends up dating a white guy. If Molly starts dating somebody else or whatever she goes through. But people have to grow. They can't keep just being messy all the time because there's nothing that's going to happen.
I can see there being like a new...
Yeah, because everybody be talking about this.
Yeah.
About this here.
I can see there being like a new... quote unquote love interest for Issa.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Daniel was coming back?
Nah.
The way she did him.
Yeah, part of me feels like it should be it because, like he said, with guys, it's just like what, like she totally like God damn.
That was a cold ass.
You were just well, fuck you then.
She was being honest.
Yeah, and I can see it.
But that was the point at which she, you know, what I'm saying, she made her choice.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually a good moment of her being confident enough and to be like, look, I was just trying to smash. That's right.
Right. Which is like, you know, which is why they said with the show, it's a lot of role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and it's in a sense, it's role reversal, but it's also at least a little bit of reality because it's like, yeah, you can be a woman and just want to have sex.
Yes.
You can do that.
That was the other conversation that I really wanted us to discuss is the idea that women will make decisions based strictly on sexual attraction and sexual desire. Mm-hmm. So often it is the belief that if a woman cheats in a relationship, it is a reaction to something that a man has done in the relationship.
Right.
So the only way she could ever desire to cheat is because he did something to hurt her. So now she has to get back versus understanding women are just as sexual as men. If I mean, I would argue in some ways even more so. The challenge is because we can carry children. Enjoy yourself, huh? Because we can carry children. It's this belief that we need to be more protective and particular about whom we sleep with. You know, and while I do feel there is some truth that lies within that idea, to believe that a woman does not have her own sexual desire that's not attached to any level of emotion at all whatsoever. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous to think that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, to me, that was a very real situation, especially with somebody who you have histories and somebody who is a coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had slept with this person already.
Right.
And then they're back in my life and I have the opportunity to do it again. Like,
right.
So realistic.
Want to scratch it. Yeah, I'm glad she showed it. And I think a lot of guys were bothered by it because.
They don't want to believe that.
Yeah. It was like, oh, shit, my girl can do that. Like, yes, your girl can do that. Like, right. You believe in this bullshit society that, oh, only women, basically women ain't sexual.
Right.
Except only in certain occasions. I'm like, if a woman wants some penis, just wants some dick, she can go get it.
Right. I was just talking to a friend of mine earlier. We was discussing the show and, you know, one of the things that was happening, especially as we were talking about with black women, a lot of our, at least the American conception of sex and sexuality is so westernized and western based that, right, that a lot of people don't know how to communicate. At least I've seen a lot of women that don't know how to communicate what they want sexually.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes they can not confuse, but that they'll talk about a man being aggressive, but they want that aggressiveness usually in terms of what the dynamic sexually.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that a dude's walking around 24/7 always aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
A dude can't do that. Right. People are not two-dimensional characters.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the discussion for women to even have a healthy discussion on what they want sexually a lot of times doesn't happen. And so also being with black women, a lot of times they're not allowed to own that sexuality because of a whole lot of other things. Mm-hmm. So now it becomes, oh, she didn't cheat just because of this. She cheated for a layer of reasons, which in a sense is true, but it's also quite possible for you as a human being to just like Tasha or anybody else, that it's not all an emotional reason completely thought out. It could just be as simple as this is what I wanted. And, you know, just to kind of speak to a point that I kind of wanted to make earlier, when we talk about this being realistic and stuff like that, I mean, where did you go to high school?
Laces.
And where'd you go?
Same.
Laces and stuff like that. Like, I feel like if you went to like an all black high school or an all black college, like people that you meet that might have been in long term relationships throughout most of the time, and then senior year they break up and you're like, what? Right. What do you mean? Right. Or first semester of college, or, you know what I'm saying, they were sweethearts, college sweethearts, then you find out they break up and you're like, no, they're not supposed to break up. You know, that's the kind of thing that I think that's the reason why we can kind of relate to it enough to be like, no, it's very real and possible that these are normal black human beings, not one person that's just trying to take advantage of this person, and that this person stabbed him in the back and now they're about to get messy like it's a VH1 show. Right. It's that they got problems. This is how they deal with it and all that other stuff. Right. So, you know, I don't know. I think that it's very real and possible to show black people getting over a relationship, even though it's not. They got an HBO show called Divorce,
which is not probably going to be removed.
No, it is.
Oh,
is it?
It
really?
Is. Yeah. I heard it. Speaking of what I do, really? what I could see happen, I could honestly see, depending on how long this series goes, if it goes like 4 or 5 seasons, I could see it doing a Carrying Big. Where, like, at the end, they're finally like, you know what? I really won't be with you. We've been with, like, 2 or 3 other people in between our fuck up, you know, and I'm just not happy. And, like, I really, you know, that happens, too. Yeah. We're like, we broke up because whatever.
Right.
You know, you cheated.
Right.
We broke up. I moved
on. And now
we've
grown.
Right. Now we've grown, and, you know, we've matured, and now that we see each other 4 years later and we kind of talk and hang out again, we're like, okay,
right,
let's try it again. And then this time we're more mature, we realize, you know, where we made mistakes in the past, and we good to go.
Right. And then third season, Issa gets pregnant, and then we got a whole new show.
Look, let me tell you where Issa would piss off everybody if she did this. If in the next 2 seasons Lawrence and Tasha actually turn out to be something and they fuck around and get married.
Yeah.
If he proposes to her, it's like, oh, nigga, after I've been with you for 5 years, now when we get to the end, your shit starts popping. He gets the app finished and it blows up. He proposes to Tasha and they get married.
Oh, well.
Oh, my God.
But see, you know,
or that he
proposes, that's another thing that.
Propose to Tasha. She going to come at the wedding. That I'm not going to say nothing the whole time.
Oh, you know she going to have objections, and Lawrence is going to be like, if you don't sit down, I invited you here because I thought we were friends now. Sit down.
Right.
Nah, man, I think that, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways this thing could go, but.
Yeah, women would be pissed at that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think that. Like,
well, you.
Like, I mean,
look, I mean, you know, and it's the same way with, like, how they say, well, a woman's supposed to take a man back. I'm like, you ain't got to do shit.
Right.
If the other reversed and you got your shit popping and he go out and get some pussy, you can be like, nah, dude, you fucked up at the wrong time. And now this next nigga is going to reap the benefit because you decided to jump.
You know
shit
what?
Early.
But see, that's another thing that I kind of want to talk about real quick is that, you know, I think there's a fine line in this conception of how much time people have put in or invested, like they're automatically owed something,
right?
So because I put 5 years in, I'm supposed to be recouping whatever money you start making because I did this and I did that. That's not how a relationship works. A business relationship mainly, but that's not how relationships work. Sometimes that's just how the cookie crumbles. And if you've been together for 6 years and then that person decides when they get up, then they turn around and they're like, oh, well, I don't like you anymore. They don't owe you nothing. That's just kind of how it is. And it sucks.
Right.
But this idea of, but they did all of that and they did all of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But right. don't nobody owe Issa or owe anybody right. anything for right. whatever happens. Life twists around like that, and then you got to sometimes walk around with a zero balance. That's just where it goes.
Yeah, they're trying to compare this to fucking Angela Bassett and Waiting to Exhale.
Man.
Kind of shit. Like, that's different. Like, she put in, she helped create the business. They got kids. They got, like, kids that, like, eight.
Married, so they had a contractual. Right.
And he just totally was like, yo, what? I'm gonna get with this white girl, and you ain't getting shit.
I mean, come on, man. Like, seriously? Seriously?
That was fucked up.
Like,
that was fucked up.
I'm way older.
Now, here's the thing. Would women have been happier if Issa came home and the whole damn apartment was fucked up?
No.
Because, I mean, you know. Right.
What do you mean?
Like,
he came in
like what a lot of guys would expect that to happen in that situation. Was like, oh, you cheated on me?
Right.
And then I'm gone and I come home and all my shit tore up, all my clothes is fucked up, the couch done ripped, all of that, and they leave.
Would you have preferred
that instead of him banging the back out of some chick?
No, because see, the thing is that, well, what you're, I think, partially alluding to is that there's a lot of these black romance stories where if the girl gets cheated on, she'll go in and destroy the shit and walk out and she's vindicated, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas him leaving the Best Buy shirt was looked at as being kind of petty, and then, you know, he's having sex with an old girl where she does, you know, Issa doesn't know that, mm-hmm. but, you know, the whole idea of these Tyler Perry black male villains all the time, that got to be extreme. He had to have done something. Right. He did something. He's doing something. It has to be something that makes him this typical. And this is the other thing that I saw all the time on these damn things. They were like, well, just because he didn't cheat doesn't automatically mean that he's a good boyfriend. And I'm like, well, that also doesn't mean that he's disposable either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, no, he may not have cheated. Yes, he forgot about her birthday and stuff, but stop sitting here acting like, you know, he's now that villain because he fucked up. Like, he's a normal human being and people do that. So now it turns into, well, you know, he's not all that great because he did what he's supposed to do in a relationship. And I'm like, okay, he did what he was supposed to do, though. Issa didn't.
Right. And I'm like, can we talk about the fact that so many think pieces have come out to just be like, Lawrence is not that guy.
Whatever.
He's not your good guy.
Whatever.
And this idea that in order for a black woman to be treated decently in a relationship, she has to be damn near perfect. You know, she has to have the perfect face, the perfect body, be educated, have a good job. And that's when a man will treat her right. But a black man only needs to have a job and be able to take you out once a month. And he's a king. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And my thing is like, I really don't like Lawrence being turned into this villain.
Right.
Yeah. When what he did is what we say, his reaction is what we have been socialized to believe a woman's response would be in a situation. It's reactionary. You know, somebody cheated on me. My reaction is to flip out. His flip out reaction is fucking Tasha. And at that point, he and Issa are no longer a couple.
Okay. Yeah. Here's what I wanted to ask is when we did the show. And we know Issa's insecure and she didn't say anything. Should she, when he was asked, she had been like, no, I'm not fucking. I didn't fuck him.
Yeah, somebody else said that she should have just lied, but.
Because part of me felt like she should. Part of me, I think when we talked about it, when she fucked him, she should have been like, what she should have done. Well, I mean, it's an option. You don't have to do all that. I mean, because it's kind of foul that you're not being honest. But she could have been like, yo, man, I didn't, you know, call dude and be like, you know what? I fucked up. I shouldn't have slept with you. You know, that's my fault. My bad. We can't do this anymore. I'm sorry. Don't call me no more. And then if it get brought up, be like, yeah, I was cheating on you. What you talking about?
The way she dealt with Daniel was stupid. Like, once it was over,
she should have been like,
she should have just,
as soon as she was wrong.
Yeah, she should have had a shutdown conversation with him versus letting him.
Long time ago.
Yeah, should have instead of letting him hang for 3 weeks. But in that moment where Lawrence asked her that question, in some ways had to be mentally ready to let go of the relationship, because if she wasn't, I mean, people are going to hate me for saying this. She should have denied it. One of my elders told me this shit. And the thing is, it's like, it might not be the right thing, but it's some real true shit. That person was like, hey, lies are never right, but sometimes they are useful. If you knew you were not going to sleep with this man again and there was not going to be a further relationship with him, honestly, in doing that, it's a bit of self-punishment because you're going to have to live with that guilt. But it's definitely, if you want this relationship to work, you already know it's not going to serve any purpose to tell this person this right now.
You could have just been like, you know what? Because she could admit, like, you know what? I kissed him like 2 months ago when I went out. And, you know, he was calling me and, you know, I never like closed and I never said anything. I just tried to avoid it. But she could have just said that. But the fact that she was like, she didn't say nothing. I'm like, what the fuck?
She went with the immediate guilty response. Why you even ask me that?
Right. Like, can I say, you know what? Even though I know I was pissed off that the way Molly talked to him. At that function. Yeah. It was like, oh, so it's just going to be about this, right? Like,
that's
bitch.
That's homegirl shit.
What?
That's homegirl shit.
Yeah, you like, it's just going to be about, it's just going
to
be
about. Well, Daniel dismissed her, too, anyway. He was all like, I don't care.
Yeah, you know what I'm here to do. I love that, because it was just like, wait a minute. Like, because Daniel seemed like the type, he was like, I'm not going to fucking, like, I've been here. I was at the function with the kids.
Right.
I came up to her job. I'm not going to fucking embarrass her at her job. I ain't here to do that. I just want to get a chance to say, hey, you've been avoiding me. We have a 5-minute conversation. She could have been like, you know what? We did it. And somebody was like, yeah, I thought the same thing too. Like, when I go to talk to him, let's go talk down the street. Right. I'm not going to talk right by a motherfucking window. Let's go upstairs somewhere.
I mean, again, you know, Issa's character doesn't make the smartest choices. No. And, you know, if she had done anything smarter, then, you know, it wouldn't be a show. Right. But that's the thing is that, you know, I think that a lot of people were expecting the reactions of the men to not even be anywhere near civil. I mean, I think when she had that one flashback or flash moment of after she had cheated, she was going to go in. And then if she said something, he was going to slap her. Right. Yeah. But then that didn't happen. Even though he reacted that way, but it is kind of one of those things that, you know, subconsciously it seemed like people were all like, oh, is Daniel going to flip out? Is he going to do this? Oh, is Lawrence going to flip? Is he doing this? And then people are trying to find what they can to turn it into that. And it's, you know, regardless of the number of men or black men that are out there wilding or whatever, I do kind of personally believe in vetting the people you kick it with. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you are of the stock that are saying, well, Lawrence isn't really that great of a guy, it's like, well, I'm sure you know of people who have women that have been with dudes who were completely unemployed and alcoholic and did slap their girl around and all that other stuff, and they were cheating and all those other things. So Lawrence is certainly not that.
Right.
So let's not act like there isn't a spectrum of goodness, like there's a spectrum of badness.
Right.
That you know, he's not that great, so he's bad. No, he may not be that great, but he's certainly going toward the green rather than the black.
Right, but, he's like, I feel like people want people to be whole when they meet them. And whole meaning, like, perfect, not flawed,
sure,
not in the midst of any sort of process, not evolving, but fully evolved.
That's what Molly wants.
Right. And the thing is, none of us are there. No matter how much you think your shit is together, there is still an aspect of your life, your personality, your character that is still growing, evolving. You know why? Because you're alive.
Right.
So if you can't accept people being in various stages, I'm not saying you have to take somebody who is like in the infant stage of their evolution, but you need to understand that people are going to be in different phases. And to me, the think pieces that I read that dogged Lawrence for that final decision, they kind of just irked me to the core.
Right.
Because I was like, what did you expect? And the thing is, you want to go back and try to bang on him for not having his shit together in episode one and let that be the justification for Issa doing what she did, therefore making it seem like what he did in the end was just some all men are dogs type bullshit. Right. And that's not what occurred.
Yeah, no, a lot of people were like, yeah, no, I think I've seen a lot of that. I think a lot of people were like, oh no, I think he called her and then did that all on purpose. And I'm like, well, first of all, Issa,
what kind of evil conniving motherfuckers are you dealing with?
I said first of all, Issa said the exact opposite, that is not what happened. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you seemingly can't even give him the benefit of the doubt that he's not trying to be evil and conniving.
Right.
That maybe he can change his mind. Yeah. And then you're not even, you know, thinking about the idea that, you know, that it has to be that he was trying to make her fall into a trap.
You're not giving him any semblance of humanity.
Yeah, right.
This is a fully formed person who has emotions. And I think that's what I appreciate about this depiction of black men in this show in particular as well, is that we see black men express emotion, from Lawrence to Jared to Daniel. Mm-hmm. All three of those characters, we see them in various emotional states. You know, Jared, when Motley tries to come back for the second time, putting her foot in her mouth a million, he just, bitch, I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you then told me, in order to get with me, you need to lower your standards, you need to settle. Like, everything about me is beneath what you're saying that you want. You know what I'm saying? But somehow your punk ass is on my porch right now.
And for some reason, people act like that can't be true.
Right.
That it can't be true that there's good men, and that it can't be true that there's women that have issues.
Right.
And that we can't empathize or sympathize with both.
Right.
You know, and then even to your point, like you said, like, people are expecting the people to come fully formed or whole. Like, can't you imagine how boring or how quick a relationship is going to die like that? Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if I got 100% of my shit together, me as Johanse, which eventually will happen, but if I'm making this money and I got this and I got this and I got this and I got this and I'm fully fine and I have no complexes and nothing like that, then what do I need you for?
Right.
Look at all your issues. You slowing my shit down.
Right. So what do I need to be with you for? And that's what, you know, we're meant to do. We're here to help each other, not just to come in and to fully form a company and all you getting is the benefits for nothing.
Right. And,
you
know? And something I saw, that a lot of things I read, I just saw it differently. When his boy, who the one who we meet, who's his regular, who was, I didn't see notice that first, who's the one who played DJ Yella, and straight out of context.
Oh, right.
When he said the part about "I'm cold, you the R&B dude," I took it as this is his boy having a moment to just say, "You know what? I'm an asshole.
Yeah,
you're not.
Yeah."
And I thought he was. I took it as he's paying Lawrence a compliment, like, dude, like, you're the nice dude. I'm the motherfucker who treat women like shit.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah,
you're not that. And I took it as like that. I took it as, he, you know, he's, in a sense, just, he's opening up for that one little moment. His boy is opening up, like, you know what? You're better than me at that.
Yeah.
But I got that in that moment. Lawrence was like,
he felt soft.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be that nigga, because that means I'm the dude who gets taken advantage of.
Right.
Like, and I just did.
But that's why when he gets to the stripper thing, he's like, okay, well, maybe we should talk. But then he has the happy medium with Tasha.
Right.
So, but he's a relationship dude. And I know guys like that too. The homie of mine that was with his girl for a minute, she was holding him down when he was trying to get a job and all that stuff, and he married her.
Right.
But he's always been a relationship type guy. He wasn't just bouncing around girl to girl. He's usually been the dude that, you know, finds a girl and sticks with her.
Because you see, when he talked to his boy at Roscoe, that shit was funny. He was like, you know, so what make you want to marry her? Well, you know, she got this and that. And you like, okay, what is it really?
Right.
She get that fire head. Oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, this is about to last about 6 months. And he going to be like, this shit boring.
Right.
Or he's the guy who will be married but cheating.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you have some men that get into relationships with the understanding, you know, this is my one, this is my bottom.
Right.
If you got to use that kind of terminology. But I'm still, you know, it's as our cousin Darius would say, you know, you just got to understand what does he say? Just the ways of men.
Yeah, and you see,
operate off of that mindset.
You do see with emotion some of the challenge when it comes to men, because you saw when he. When he had a moment where he just really needed, when he really needed a boy to just be like, you know what, I'm just dealing with some shit in my relationship, and I want to just talk to one of my friends about it, that they all like at a game, like, nigga, I can't pay attention to this shit,
right?
You know, I'm talking, you know, I'm watching the game right now.
Yeah,
you
know, dudes don't usually talk about that anyway.
Right now,
talk about their breakups. Right.
You'll find a guy.
Y'all need friends.
You know what it is? I tell you, it was just that particular moment. I just think, now his boy may not be that one. I thought it was just that moment, like, hey, we hanging out, we drinking. His boy's in the zone. Like, I'm in the zone, I'm talking, I'm drinking, I'm watching his game. I don't feel like stepping out of that zone to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you will have a friend or two, if you've known a nigga long enough and you've been through enough shit, that if you want to be like, dude, you know, I need to express how I'm feeling, and you'll have a guy friend who'll be like, all right, I'm just gonna listen.
Right.
There is that. In that moment, his friend just wasn't ready for that.
Present. You should have at least one. But then there's some guys who
may not have.
Yeah, they don't know how to have that conversation, because all they know is just playing and going around. But the thing is that a lot of, I would suspect, and this is kind of the thing that comes up a lot, and I know that there may be some eyes rolled at it or whatever, but a lot of dudes become like that Lawrence's friend because right. they went through something that Lawrence went through, or felt right. for whatever reason this girl dissed them, or this X, Y, and Z happened. So from then on, they were all like, oh, well, you know, that is true. All you just got to be cold all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or you can't invest yourself too much in these girls or whatever.
Right.
I'd like to see that same friend, and maybe it'll happen whether or not that guy gets with Molly. You know, or what happens if, you know, he does find himself at a point where he has to change. I mean, right. again, like, you know, it's the show's not going to be no good if people don't change right. in it. You right. know, so at some point, you know, with all these issues and whatnot, somebody's yeah. going to have to wake up and yeah, be like, yo, I can't do this anymore, yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah, they had that moment where, at least with Issa and her friends, when they was in, I guess, Malibu,
right.
in the hot tub just drinking.
Right.
I was happy that Issa, you know, that moment that they kind of, her and Molly kind of stood up for each other.
Yeah.
Because they're friends. I mean, hey, I mean, that's what friends do. Mm-hmm. Like, bitch, you know, guess, you know, man, you got, you know, you can't keep a nigga for shit, and you just insecure and all that. I was like, damn.
Yeah, but the way that whole conversation happened, I'm like, how y'all gonna still stay friends after that? I mean, maybe you can still work it out because that's what you do. You can call each other out in that way, but.
That was some cold shit.
Yeah, there's a certain line where when homegirl was like, well, at least I'm not pretending like I have a man. I was like, oh. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this show also showcases women having some very hard conversations with each other. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think we would be doing the show justice if we omit the conversation that happens between Issa and Molly at the end of the fundraiser, where they're really calling each other out on their shit.
Right.
And, you know, like, a lot of sister friends, I was telling my oldest friend and the woman who I give the title of bestie, I said, so much of Issa and Molly are you and I, except we are not nearly as fucked up as the two of them. but that being there for each other, but also calling each other on our shit. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have somebody who you know truly loves you, you can receive that from them and even have it come to you in a way that is not easily digestible,
right.
because you recognize that their purpose in it is not to hurt you. But it's like, you need to hear some very real shit. So before somebody who doesn't love you brings it to you in a very real and painful way, let me just give it to you and break this shit all the way down for it to be forever be broke. And like, to me, the conversation that happens when they're all in Malibu showcases what I always tell Chris happens with women in general. I feel like when you have a group of women, because right now there's also this boom of like, we all need to support women. Ask yourself why
There are so many conversations about women talking about women. We're stronger together when we uplift each other, and we need to stop shaming each other and support each other and blaming each other. Women need to stick together and women need to support, because you know why? Women don't normally do that. Mm-hmm. You bring women together in a group, you will have those who are your core friends are your core friends. But if you're just bringing women together in general, there is an innate competition
really
taking place.
I've never really been privy to that. Like, I've heard that, I get it, but yeah, I remember I said something totally different where I thought women were a little bit more quicker to have support for each other emotionally, right, at least in certain instances.
If like it's your, if it's somebody who you know and who is your friend, but if it's not somebody who you know who is not your friend, not necessarily.
So what's the competition on? The competition is on what?
Just by on in the sense that we are. How can I put this?
Just say it.
I'm thinking about the time that we did a Black Women Speak podcast here at this table years ago. And we had a conversation about natural hair versus other hair. And the sort of conversation, the sort of energy that was in the room when you had people who were natural, people who did have perms, people who were formerly permed and transitioning. It's a power play. It's a power play. Now, I'm thinking back to times where if I've ever been in a situation when I was single, and when I say single, I mean not married, literally not married. Mm-hmm. And you go out with your girlfriends amongst a group of men and other women. There's going to definitely be a few women who are just absolutely peacocking. Mm. But there's also like, there's like this tacit competition for who is getting the attention. Who are the men paying attention to, and for what reasons, you know? And there will be a cattiness that goes on in regards to women who seem to be doing quote unquote too much. And it's not something, one, I'm gonna be straight up. I know it's not something that is just particular to me at this point in my life. I absolutely do not participate in it. I honestly feel too old to participate in those kind of situations. And when it comes to dating, I'm far removed. Now, I will find myself in that experience amongst colleagues, but it depends. If it's a colleague with whom I have a respectful relationship with and we're friendly, but if it's somebody who's coming to the table viewing me as competition, then it's, we don't have to say we're competing,
but they're trying to gauge their life against yours.
Exactly. Right. And if we're having a conversation, like I'll use this evening, for example, we were at a party. There were a whole bunch of real estate agents there. It was me and another real estate agent having a conversation with a woman who was a consumer. And she asked us, what do you think is the best area for us to make investments in right now? I gave the place that I thought. And the other agent who I told Chris, I said, she has a very competitive energy. Ever since I met her, she's always been that way. She was like, I don't necessarily agree. And she gave all the reasons why she disagreed with my suggestion, but she never gave a suggestion of another location.
Right.
And it's that kind of shit.
Right.
It's that kind of play that happens when women are in the room. And so bringing it back to the scene with Malibu, what you have are four girlfriends, but they pair off. As we see.
Mm-hmm.
And I've witnessed that in friendships. All four of y'all might be friends, but two of y'all are closer to each other and the other two are closer to each other. And you know that when the two of us are together, we talk shit about those other two. And when they're together, they talk shit about us. And in that moment, because they're all drunk, the birthday girl and her girlfriend, all the shit that they talk about when they talk about Molly and Shane in the room is coming out. And Issa picks up on that and is like, why the fuck you got to be talking about everybody all the time?
Right. She called him out on that shit.
Right. And the thing is with the big girl, she's a stereotypical woman character. We recognize what her character flaw is and what her insecurity is. She's the big girl. So by virtue of being the big girl, she plays the jokester all the time.
She's probably the most hood out of all of them.
Right. And she will be the one talking the most shit to deflect from her own insecurity. Yeah. But we also know the married girl got some shit too. We just don't know what it is.
The bougie one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Hamilton,
I just said a mouthful, y'all, but you know, it is what it is.
Right.
You probably dropped some knowledge that a lot of guys didn't even know.
And a lot of women will come back and probably say some really crazy shit. Well, that's just some shit KC deals with. No, the fact that you just made that response lets me know you deal with it too.
Oh, no.
I'm just honest.
I've heard women like, we, you know, they go on trips. I heard this from some woman. I mean, I think it was someone I was talking to, funny, at a bank. During a time when I had to go to the bank all the time for my job. And talking, and she was like, I went on to Vegas, and it was like 500 girlfriends. And immediately, it was just like, at some point, it just started like, fucking didn't get along. And you're just like, and she almost started off with like, why the fuck did I go on? I should have known before I went that this trip was going to be testing.
You got like, four women on a trip. Who's in charge? Who's making the choice about what we're doing? Because all four of us are not going to agree on what we all want to do. We're not all exactly the same. So,
and if one don't want to do it, are we going to be mad and be like, well, you supposed to do that?
To do whatever the birthday girl says, but you know.
Right. But I don't want to do what the birthday girl says. It's going to always be somebody who's going to be a bit persnickety and wants to go against the grain. Who's in charge? Mm-hmm. Who's running things? Who's the boss? Who's the boss bitch this weekend? And it's, I won't even go further because that'll be a whole different conversation.
Okay.
But, you know, it's so funny. I love my girlfriends and I, and I think I've said this to other people. I had a friend of mine. She was like, I love when me and my girls go on trips. I said, I haven't done a girlfriend trip. And she said, really? I get an eyebrow raise. And I'm like, I'm not one of those women that will say, I don't get along with women. Because that's not true. I have girlfriends. I just think my girlfriends aren't each other's girlfriends.
True. You got to know which ones don't mix.
Right. So the need for us to all go out together to kick it, there is no need. I end up spending time with all of them individually. And that's not to say that those of us that went to high school together, they know each other.
Sure.
But my girlfriends aren't girlfriends. Hmm. So that makes my friendship circle look a lot different.
Mm. Right.
So I guess I don't get those opportunities.
It ain't like them shows like Girlfriends or Living Single, where it's like, okay, all four of us, we all type.
And usually that's not the situation. Usually you'll have a group, like a core group that are close, maybe like two or three. And then they'll invite other women who they think will enjoy the company of this core group. And that's a crapshoot because they may or they may not.
Wow. Yeah.
And the thing is, I think that's something men don't experience.
We do, but slightly different. It's pretty clear when certain guys won't get along.
Yeah. Okay.
It's usually pretty clear. But for the most part, if somebody is cool with at least two or three people out of, like, let's say five, if I'm real tight with at least two or three of them, mm-hmm. I can definitely be cool enough with the other homies. I may not kick it with them a whole lot.
Right.
Because I know what kind of energy I can handle and I can't.
Right.
But, you know, you know, guys do compete with each other a lot too.
Right.
And, you know, there's points in time where you got to know which guy you're going to probably invite to whatever to see if like, you know, you're going to be able to just have a good time or whatever. But, you know, again, it's about the company you keep, man. If you're about certain values, you got to know how to vet people.
Yeah. And I mean, the only way I think for guys like that, it would have to be where all y'all done been through some shit. Like all y'all, we're on the same line together. Or all y'all on the same football team. It had to be something like all y'all in the same class and you sat at the same desk.
Right.
It had to be something like that where the group of y'all like, okay, we all cool.
Right.
Other than that, it's probably like, most of my stuff is like, I'm cool with two of these three people I'm real cool with. I really know. And then about the rest of them, I know them, but not like that.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I've spoken to him enough where we get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not. It's not like, okay, I got something real deep I need to tell him. I'm only telling those specific one or two guys. Right. I'm not telling the whole group because I don't know them like that. And maybe I don't want them all up in my business.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's like that. It's like the same thing. It's like you got your core of that group that you like, this when I got it, if I need somebody to ride, I'm not calling all them niggas.
Right.
But I'm going to call them.
Because there's definitely some dudes that you know ain't going to come through. They'll come through when it's a party. Yeah. They may not come through right. to help you move.
Or it's a nigga right? who's over, like, okay, yeah, nigga, let's ride.
And you know
I'm bringing all of you. Like, I don't need you. I don't need you right now. You're right.
Too hype.
And I think you're right because I can say the situations where I do see women operate from a place that appears to be authentic sisterhood are sisters that are in Greek sororities together.
Yeah.
Because they've gone through
something spiritual, something a little bit deeper than
right.
It's something where y'all
community based. Yeah.
Exactly.
You kind of been in the trenches. You kind of been there.
Right.
Y'all got a something like that. Yeah.
Right. Because that is true too. People who I grew up in church and like choir with, mm-hmm. that's a very different type of connection and relationship than friends made in other certain situations or circumstances because you do have a certain foundation that is. That kind of bolsters all of you, supports right. all of you. And the women who I know that have close relationships through their sorority, those relationships do seem very genuine and authentic, and they can have a fairly sizable group mm-hmm. of women that are all connected under this one and particular under, thing.
Yeah, something has happened. Mm-hmm. Y'all been through some shit.
Mm-hmm. But you will see some catty shit.
Wow.
You will see some absolute catty shit.
And I'm expecting more season two.
Well, then, yeah, bring that drama on through, man. Yeah. Bring that drama on through. But somebody's going to have to get mature. Somebody got to get mature, man. I'm telling you, you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
That's stuff that will, it makes you grow. You deal with some shit, you're like, all right, you see, they're all level-headed enough. You know, well, Ethan and Lawrence, them two, at least they're like, okay, where did I fuck up at? What did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me try not to make that same mistake going forward. They right. both seem that they're at least on that level.
Right.
Now, how it goes, I don't know, but right. I'll be watching.
Yeah.
No, man, it was pretty clear that, you know, again, Issa has her thing where she's like, yeah, I support somebody going to therapy. I support.
Yeah, we're going to see
that. No, I don't
that.
Think that he's gay because of X, Y, and Z. So you see that part, but just because she has those stances doesn't necessarily mean that it all applies to her at the same time. I also wanted to say, you know, or even inquire, which I thought about that one dude, the Asian dude that was trying to get at Molly.
Yeah.
I think he was going for it, man.
And I think he's
going for it.
I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to come back. Because we saw him a couple of times this season just with We Got Y'all.
He's the teacher of the class.
Yeah. First of all, Issa, shout out to you yet and again for the We Got Y'all logo. That is probably my favorite image on the whole show. If you haven't paid attention to that.
I think I saw it, but I got it.
Please pay attention to the We Got Y'all logo. We Got Y'all. It is one of the most magnificent things on that show. And if you miss it, like, you will sleep on it. But it's great. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh yeah, no, I think I did notice it. It is a great
I have to look at it again.
Low key idea.
Oh my god.
Oh, they got t-shirts too. I'm about to get one.
Yeah, I need Lamar a We Got Y'all t-shirt.
We Got Y'all shirt.
Yeah. I think he's going to come back. I think he will be the person who challenges Molly's expectations of what it is she wants, because from what we can see about him, you know, obviously he has a certain level of compassion being an educator.
And them kids, oh my God.
The kids are great. The kids are a podcast in and of themselves. Mm. The kids are great.
From the first episode, you're like, damn, you chose to wear that?
I'm like, this is my middle school teaching experience all over
again.
This
is why I don't in class like, fuck y'all.
But yeah, I think.
You chose to do that, your hair that way? Or was that your mama doing it?
I think she's going to run into him again and have a different experience. Oh, okay. And the seed is planted when Issa tells her, you know, I gotta work with him. You were so cold to him. And there's really no reason for her to have been cold to him. Yeah. She was just having a shitty evening and decided she was going to continue to have a shitty evening.
She wasn't feeling him, and then his joke just did not land. It was a joke.
It was corny. You know what he's here for.
He's trying to break the ice.
Yeah, come on. You know what he's here for.
Right. She was feeling some kind of way because Issa suggested that she should have therapy, and she stayed in her feelings.
I just hate how she always went every time, even from the first episode about,
I need a We Got
you know, the whole like broken pussy. Oh, yeah. She talking about my, like, no, she not. She just got up there, right, and as she was in her head, she was rhyming. Like, the therapy shit, it was like, I was kind of hoping Issa wouldn't bring it up and be like, you probably need therapy. I was like, damn it, don't bring that up to her, because you know she going to take it personal. You should have been like, I do that. What's wrong with therapy? Like, it's fine. If you don't want to go, you ain't got to go. But stop acting like in our community.
Right.
Oh, we talk about, like, it must be something wrong with you. Like, sometimes I don't want to talk to my friends. Sometimes I need somebody who don't know shit about me, and I can bounce, say something to them, and they can bounce something off of me that maybe I did not think of.
Right. Yep.
But that, that was another thing. Like, I'm hearing how black people in
therapy. Molly's going to have to get some therapy. We're going to have to come back next season with her seeing a therapist. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she doesn't get a romantic relationship with her therapist, even though that does happen.
Oh, my God.
But, look, man, like I said, man, there's 1,001 ways that this could go, and I'm interested to see where it goes, but I think that they're not trying to do it the predictable route.
Right.
I think that
because they got us this time.
Right. A lot of people have complained over the years about how many black men are constantly looking pretty shitty in a lot of TV shows in a lot of ways, and so they kind of reversed that. I haven't seen Survivor's Remorse, but I heard that's a good show.
Yeah, I heard that was good.
But it's the time now of various kinds of black TV. And the thing is that, again, I think even with the Lawrence thing, and I actually kind of said this a while ago, when you're talking about, like, Luke Cage and, people trying to say, well, he's about respectability politics and all this other shit. Like, people have this real cognitive dissonance thing happening where they don't know how they can place these black stories without looking at it as in a lens of, oh, they must be performing for white people. Mm-hmm. Or it must be that they're not a normal human being with this flaw. It must be a racialized flaw.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But, it's not fair to keep not looking at these stories as various ways of looking at stories. I still haven't seen Moonlight yet.
Oh.
I'm screwing up on there, but that's what I'm saying, is that there's so many different kinds of people and stories, and so that's what Moonlight we gotta focus on.
Moonlight is awesome. But it's almost like you complain about not being able to see us in different lights. We just get the usual pimp player, whatever, and then we get a year where we actually get to see brothers. We get to see them vulnerable. We finally get to see black men vulnerable, which we are. And now it's like, oh, well, I don't like the way this. Like, dude, nobody said you got to like, nobody wants to be vulnerable and have their weaknesses shown. Nobody wants that. But that's like, that's the part of it. Like, we always complain about it, and now we get it, and now it's a problem. Like,
but that's what humanizes a lot of the white characters,
right?
Like I said, they got divorced. You had girls. Girls is a very similar format in that they're all, either an asshole and talks too much, or somebody's an anxiety ridden or something. That they're all these things, but at the end of the day, it's different because they're white.
Right.
No, but if you bring up a black dude that had some kind of short gay experience or whatever, then even though that's a talking piece, it now has to be a much bigger thing, because every time we, air out any particular dirty laundry, it can't be that this is airing out their humanity. It's that it's a problem.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think it's time for things to keep moving forward, and then we start telling the other side of it.
So. Yeah, this wave that's going, I hope it keeps going.
Right.
For those who can't handle it, I don't really care, and I'm sorry for you, and I hope there's more of it that makes you uncomfortable, because maybe you'll figure some shit out.
Yeah, and if you're not watching Insecure, absolutely cue it up on HBO Go and HBO Now, HBO On Demand, 4 hours, and you will have knocked out the whole season.
Right. All y'all who love binging, you can do that in a day.
And since Moonlight was mentioned, black people, please go see this film and challenge yourself and all of your notions about black masculinity and what that means and what it looks like and what it should look like. I've had so many conversations with people who have heard of the film and have cursory knowledge of what they think it is. And I'm like, if you go into it with the expectation that it's a film about this,
Right.
Then you will have missed everything.
I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know nothing about it.
No, we're not going to tell you. However, at some point, we will be doing a podcast on it.
Shout out to Mahershala Ali. That's my new Hollywood crush. Mahershala.
If you don't know him.
Right.
Mahershala. We were just talking about the show he was in, Cottonmouth.
Yeah, Luke Cage. Keep casting him. Keep casting him. He's good. He's good for the film.
Right.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yep.
Be sure to tune in to the next episode. Peace.
Later. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.